Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour on developing the next generation of government leaders with Trevor Brown, Executive Director of the State of Ohio Leadership Institute and Dean of the John Glenn College of Public Affairs at The Ohio State University. See, you know, you mentioned earlier you're not reinventing the wheel. You're going to point there's a network of institutes that have certain thought leadership that's already available to you, and it's great to point the folks who come to the institute in that direction or use it during your workshops or what have you. But my question is, you know, how much of what you want to gear your collateral, your content, your intellectual prowess around what happens in Ohio. So how much is Ohio-centric and how much can be—
It's a good question, and that's one of those things I think we have to go to school on a little bit, honestly. I think we start from the premise that leadership is contingent on context. And so that's true both at the state level in the sense that Ohio may be different than a boundary state like Michigan. But it also is contingent on the role that you're in. And different people are going to come to this with different levels of experience. And so we're going to try to be as customized as possible. But as we listen and learn, my guess is there will be some challenges that these folks, the participants, face that are generalizable. And that's where we as the providers have to be listening to say, what is specific about Ohio? Are there some specific contextual issues and what's generalizable? I think at the start, a lot of the way we present the information will be very specific to Ohio. It's interesting, having taught lots of case-based classes, the Harvard Kennedy School, there are lots of great stuff, the electronic hallway. I use a lot of the material from IBM as cases. As an instructor, I can see the generalizable lesson, but sometimes participants need to see it and hear the words "my agency" or "my town," and if you just swapped that, then they get it. Yeah. They're like, "Oh, this is my place. I get that." And I think the more we can frame the delivery of that generalizable content in their specific context, the more willingness they will have to internalize those lessons. And so again, that's where effective teaching comes in, is trying to figure out how to take a case from some other context, reframe it and say, okay, this was this setting, but let's talk about it and tell me about your town or your circumstances.
Do you envision, as you know, you beta test the process, and I'm probably getting out ahead of you, where you are, but do you envision having a bench of, if you will, of fellows maybe?
Yeah. Over time, it will be people who've gone through the institute, but there are lots of people who've served in Ohio government recently and over the last decades who are exemplary public officials who have deep knowledge of a particular issue, maybe because they've been term limited out. They have that knowledge now, and they're committed to sharing that experience. There's a lot of people that want to pay it forward. And one of our roles will be to create a place where those people can go and then share that knowledge with current elected officials, aspirational elected officials, and students. Because again, one of our missions will be to get high school kids and college kids thinking about the legislature as a place where they might want to go work. And often that's because somebody, they sat and they had a conversation with somebody who was in that role and shared with them the joys and pleasures of being an elected official, balanced versus the challenges. And those personal connections then motivate people to go on and pursue that. So the short answer is, we're going to have those people in as fellows.
And the next question, excuse me, and it transitions to your other hat that you wear, which is the dean of the Glenn College of Public Affairs. Do you envision, I know the institute sits within that domain, but do you envision, is there a, aside from your leadership in both areas, are they going to feed one another?
Yeah. And again, they are separate entities, and we are creating a structure around the State of Ohio Leadership Institute that will make it an independent unit. But one of the values of having it embedded in a university is the boundaries will be porous. Yeah, there will be flow back and forth. So, for example, at the I'm talking about students earlier. We might have a student in one of our degree programs that wants to intern in the state legislature, and hadn't thought about that as a possibility. I want to get that kid into the state legislature as a page or whatever, just so we take advantage of that. And similarly, I may have a faculty member in the Glenn College who's done some path-breaking work and wants to share that expertise with a committee or a set of decision makers. By all means, let's take advantage of that. And then vice versa. We can learn from their experiences. Having the knowledge and learning is a two-way. So having the opportunity for faculty from across the state at different institutions to be in the room with elected officials and hear the challenges they face helps us better prepare for delivering them that content at a later date. So total synergy from having the two entities together.
So you came to D.C. To do a I think you host D.C. Dialogue, yeah. I believe, right?
Yeah.
I want you to tell us more about that concept, yep. and then tell us what are some of the topics you have discussed or most recently discussed and what you might be focusing on in the future?
Great series. Started in Ohio, had on our campus there, and we specifically chose the title Dialogue. We started this about 3 years ago. We noticed the change in the nature of conversations, less conversational and more, a lot of screaming. And we wanted to be a caretaker of respectful discourse around contentious topics. We don't want to paper over the fact that people disagree about stuff, but we want there to be a place where people can have those disagreements in an environment where they feel respected and allowed to voice their perspective and learn from the other side or from multiple other sides. So the basic notion is that we bring somebody who has deep knowledge and expertise in a particular policy issue or management activity, and then we often partner them with somebody who maybe has a different perspective, who either serves as a moderator or serves as a counterpoint to that. And it starts with a discussion between the moderator and the participant or participants, but then fairly quickly we want to draw the audience in. And so it's not, there'll be 5 minutes at the end for you to ask questions. It's about 15 minutes into the conversation. Let's get you into the conversation. And so we turn to the audience, and the role of the effective moderator is to pull people in. And we've been successful in that. And so we do that on campus once a month. We have an intern program here in Washington where we send baccalaureate college students, anywhere from 10 to 15 in the regular fall and spring and about 30-some in the summer. And Ohio State has a thick alumni network here in the Washington, D.C. area. We bring them together along with friends of the Glenn College to have these conversations. We did one on net neutrality, a very complicated and contentious issue with different perspectives. And it's one of those issues you quickly come, it's not one side or the other, it's like 10 sides. But we had the benefit of having somebody who knows it very, very well, which is Ohio State graduate Tom Wheeler, who went to Ohio State. He's a Buckeye. He served as the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission and was a sort of tip of the spear on the net neutrality rules that are now being changed potentially. So it was a great opportunity for people to first learn from his experience, but then engage him in a discussion. And so we will be able to bring in really skilled interviewers who can handle these kinds of issues and attract a new audience.
That's
for
interesting
us.
That they're giving you, you can tap certain personalities that then bring their.
And this is also one of the benefits of being in Ohio. Yeah. For the NPR and public television reporters, they benefit from the conversation. They enjoy the topic. But then they're in Ohio and they can do other reporting while they're there. And as we enter into another election cycle, Ohio is always important. And so there's a lot of reporting they can do around some of the issues that are happening in Ohio.
Given the report that came out last year and the dialogue that you co-hosted and some of the, I don't know, recommendations or insights versus what you see at the state level, are there similar issues dealing with workforce?
Yeah, in the sense that the civil service systems that exist at the state level are kind of mapped to the federal system, right? I mean, and again, variation across states, but fundamentally, it's a system that's rooted in a different era. And many in executive positions and in operational positions in government see some of the benefits of that traditional civil service system, that commitment to a meritocracy and protections from sort of political interference, organization around job-specific skills, you know, sort of the tenets of the traditional bureaucratic model. But like all systems that are in place for a long period of time, there's a kind of a ossification that occurs. And so I think there is a desire, irrespective of your political leanings, that we need to be thinking about alternative models, more performance-based systems, more rewards for performance, and perhaps negative consequences for poor performance. I think there's a real desire to include those. More agility, more ability to expand or contract workforce as necessary to deal with the challenges. I mean, right now, workforces grow. And then they decline through attrition, right? I mean, the kind of classic way that you shrink a workforce in the public sector is you wait for people to retire. That's not an effective way to run an organization. So these questions that the federal executive civil service faces are true at the state level as well. And because we are in a federal intergovernmental system here in the United States, sometimes we forget that the states are dealing with as complex issues as the federal government is dealing with, often the same issues in partnership. And so the challenges of working at the state and local level are often as high as at the federal system. And you need really talented, well-trained, committed people in those roles. And the federal civil service and state civil service systems need to adapt to be able to adjust to the changing times that we're in.
How are technological disruptions changing the way governments govern and the public sector manages? I'll explore this question and so much more when a special edition of the Business of Government Hour returns.